The Retirement and IRA Show represents the words and views of the show hosts exclusively and should not be construed as investment, legal, or tax advice. All information is believed to be from reliable sources. However, we make no representation as to its completeness or accuracy. All economic and performance information is historical in nature and is not indicative of any future results. Any indices mentioned on the show are unmanaged and cannot be invested in directly. Diversification and asset allocation strategies do not assure profit or protect against loss. Never make any investment or financial decisions based on information offered on this show without first consulting your financial, legal, or tax advisor. Financial planning services offered through Jim Salnier & Associates, LLC, a registered investment advisor.
This is the Retirement and IRA Show coming to you from beautiful Northern Colorado. Join us as certified financial planner Jim Salnier, as well as Colorado State University finance instructor and certified financial planner Chris Stein, teach you about IRAs, 401ks, annuities, Social Security, pension plans, and estate planning in a fun and enjoyable show. Whether you are listening live in Colorado or streaming from their website or iTunes podcast, Jim and Chris want you to know that they're available to help you plan for your retirement. Just visit their website at jimhelps.com. That's Jim, H-E-L-P-S.com. And click the Meet the Team button on the homepage. Now, here's Jim and Chris with today's show.
Well, welcome to the Retirement and IRA Show EDU edition for this week. This is a fourth show in a series of what is likely to turn out to be five. Well, I'm only saying that because I guess there's a slight chance it could become six, but we'll do everything we can to keep it to five. If you've been following along with this the last few weeks, you know that on the EDU show, we've been doing kind of a revealing how we at our firm approach managing assets as it relates to retirees in particular, since that's what we focus on here at Jim Salnier & Associates. And we're going to take a little detour, though, because we promised you last time that show number four was going to dive into our fee structure, how we choose to charge for the services that people come to us to have done for them. That was not worded real well, but you know what I mean. But due to the, chaotic last week or so and its effect on the markets, we thought it would be better for us to touch on something we call positioning, which is a technique we'll use. We'll get into describing it today, share with you exactly what we mean by positioning. And it's meant to deal with the types of things that are going on now, unexpected events or chaotic events that have an effect on invested assets. And as if you've been tracking your portfolio, most everyone's experiencing not a great week since all this, what we'll call it, tragedy, I guess, in Ukraine that's been unfolding in front of everybody. So, Jim, thanks for joining me again. I think it was Jim's idea to detour over to the positioning show before we do fees next week. But thanks for coming up with that idea, and welcome to the show.
Welcome, like I'm a guest.
Yeah, I know.
Welcome to the show,
welcome
Jim.
Welcome to your own show, Jim.
Yes, exactly. But, well, thank you, Chris, for having me today.
Sure.
I want to say what a pleasure it is to be able to join you on today's show.
Glad to have you back.
Exactly, exactly. Glad to have you back. Just polishing up for when we start doing speaking tours.
Right.
But it is good to be here, folks. But as Chris said, I wanted to, and I spoke to him today. We were supposed to do fees. We're going to go over the fee structure, not just our fee structure, but what you should look for in fees if you're considering hiring a planner or even doing it yourself. So we're going to get into fees a little bit deeper, but we're not going to do it today. I think in light of everything that's happening with the markets, and hopefully people here aren't panicking, if you are a accumulation person, if you're still in accumulation phase or accumulation investor is a better way of putting it. In other words, if you're in your 20s, 30s, and 40s, seriously, this should be a non-issue for you, especially with your retirement money. Now, if you have other money invested that you had hoped to use for a home down payment in 2 years or something like that, then yeah, by all means, you need to be re-looking at that and perhaps worrying a little bit. But if you're in your 20s, 30s, and 40s, and you're saving for retirement that's going to be in your 60s, 70s, and 80s, what's happening now is a non-issue. And I don't mean a non-issue for the people in Ukraine and who are dealing with what's going on, and that it's an issue for them. But as far as you, with respect to your investments and retirement, what's happening today is a sale. It truly is. And just keep doing what you're doing with an accumulation portfolio, because the cash flows in accumulation portfolio are what direction, Chris?
Well, they're into the portfolio, you're feeding it.
Exactly. Positive cash flows, we call it. Mm-hmm. Positive cash flows in a negative market. Buy more shares. It's a sale. It's, you know, I often use the example of Apple, and I'll use it again, but I'm certainly by no means recommending Apple or singling it out as a reasonable investment choice. But I've often said in 2008, when the market was crashing, it was down 50% from its high. If I were to put a sign outside that said stocks on sale, 50% off, inquire within, no one would have stopped. In 08, when stocks were crashing and going down, nobody would have stopped and came in. But when the markets hit an all-time high, I often jokingly say, if I put a sign outside, Chris, that said stocks up massively for sale, inquire within, people would come in. It's the most bizarre thing. When equities are down, nobody wants to invest and buy them. They hate them. And when equities are up, hitting all-time highs, everybody wants in, Chris. They're all brilliant. This is wonderful. We're all making money. If you're an accumulation investor, what's happening now is a non-issue. You are buying more shares, and hopefully more shares of good investments. So that's up to you, if you're a do-it-yourself investor, to make sure the investment choices are reasonable, reasonable costs, well-managed if they're actively managed, indexed if they're a passive approach, and just keep putting money in and buying more shares, and don't worry about it. I don't understand, Chris, why 20, 30, and 40-year-olds panic when a retirement portfolio is down. I can't for the life of me understand that. I'm not a psychologist or what do you call behavioral finance expert is what they're called in the industry. I know there's a reason for that, but I can't comprehend it. Now, that said, if you are a transitional person, and chances are if you're listening to this, the majority of listeners are going to be transitional or distribution investors. Transitional is the term Chris and I give to those people who are probably within 5 years or less from retirement. That's a true transitional. Some people put themselves in that category, Chris, if they're 8, 10 years from retirement. I hesitate to put them in there, but
not everybody's the same.
Right.
You know, it's there's more about your situation that would drive, I think, this label than just the investment portfolio itself. There's a lot of other moving parts, if you will.
Exactly.
So, yeah, there's not a hard and fast rule, but it's I call it kind of on the approach. You're on the approach to the distribution phase, certainly, and you're starting to adjust the flaps and adust things. But so
you're going in for the landing, mm-hmm. but your wheels are not down yet.
Right.
So you're in the transitional phase. And then, of course, there's the distribution phase. You're already retired. You need to start consuming your assets. That's who we specialize working with. That's the phase of your life that we specialize in asset management and our retirement planning. Obviously, our financial planning is just retirement planning. We would not take someone on, a young couple looking to pay down college student debt and start a family. We're the wrong planning firm for you. But if you are a 55-year-old, 60, 65-year-old, 5 years from retirement, 8 years from retirement, already retired, our firm specializes in that niche. And our whole approach to asset management, folks, is to help those people. We've made it perfectly clear the way we believe in managing assets may not be appropriate for an accumulation investor. They may want some active management. They may want the ability to take on more risk than the market for the potential of a greater return. Losses don't hurt them. It's a buying opportunity. But when it comes to a transitional or distribution portfolio, losses can devastate you. It's not a buying opportunity. It means you have to sell more shares to cover your expenses. It's the total opposite. That's who we specialize in. And our approach, hopefully over the last three shows, explained to you why we believe in managing portfolios the way we do. But there's another element that I truly think, Chris, you shared with our listeners what we call our asset management service. And for those who don't remember, what do we call it, Chris?
In general, we call it convenience portfolios, because that was our number one goal in, the characteristics of the design, if you will. It wasn't about achieving something that's, you know, hard to achieve anyway. People talk about investing alpha, things like that, doing some type of exotic strategies, those types of things. The number one goal wasn't those things. It was to provide a convenience to people who don't want to do this themselves anymore. But actually, and we admitted this before on the previous shows, do it in a way that most people could do themselves, especially our most common listeners who are do-it-yourself investors. What we do is not rocket science by any means, but doing it right and doing it with proper due diligence does require some effort. And some people get to the point where they don't want to do that anymore. Maybe they weren't ever interested that much anyway. They just forced themselves to do it. But we're offered as a convenience. But today's show, we're going to get into what, you know, it's still about convenience, but what the topic of today, the positioning topic,
exactly,
is very unique to us, I think. I've never heard of anybody doing this quite the way we do it.
Exactly. And to me, folks, it is the most valuable part of our investment management offering. When we do our fees next week, you'll see we separate it out because not everyone needs positioning. Mm-hmm. An accumulation investor, and we have people in the accumulation phase who have hired us to help them manage their assets. They just don't want to do it. So we have accumulation investors who believe in our approach and recognize, okay, you're not going to do things actively. You're going to be passive, but I like that low-cost index passive approach. Please do it for me. We have transitional investors who don't quite need positioning yet. We call it pre-positioning, what we give those people. It's kind of like the training wheels. So we have training wheels on their portfolio, getting things in line. We generally don't have to charge additional for pre-positioning. But when you get into an actual positioning, yes, we do charge more for that. And we'll explain that next week and what our price structure is and how. And you can apply that to your own situation. But to me, the key value is the positioning we do. The fact that we're passive investors on the advisor side, meaning we as an advisory firm are going to be a buy and hold advisory firm, and the fact that we're passive on the actual investments we use, meaning we generally use indexed ETFs, although we freely admit and disclose there are certain instances where we do use some actively managed allocation funds, but the vast, vast majority of our work is passive advisors using passive investments. That's nothing unique. It's not enough to make us thump our chests and say, oh, you got to work with us, or you've got to, as a do-it-yourselfer, do it our way. Absolutely not. It's what we do, as Chris said, is not rocket science. It truly isn't. We've chosen what we feel are reasonable benchmarks. Go back and listen to show one and two if you want to know the why. If you're not concerned about the why, just listen to show 3, 4, and 5. 3 is the how. Today is positioning, and 5 is going to be fees. But the actual portfolio management strategy, Chris, of a passive advisor using passive investments is nothing unique. Right. There's a lot of advisors out there who do that and believe in it long before I believed in it. Mm-hmm. I walked everyone through my evolution as a passive advisor on the investment management side. What makes us unique and what I think is truly the convenience in convenience portfolios is positioning. And what happened last week and is happening this week is reason why we believe, or I believe, in positioning. Now, positioning isn't something you can go to your advisor or Google investment positioning. I don't know what would show up if you did that. I never did that. But in other words, it's not something Chris and his staff at CSU is teaching the young minds at Colorado State University who want to become financial planners. It's not part of the curriculum.
Close enough.
I
know what you're saying.
That word should just be removed. Course, it's not part of the courses that Chris teaches at CSU. It's something that I came up with But it's not because I'm brilliant. It used to be called, and we called it many times, in a earlier form, where we called it bucketing. And we used to do a quote-unquote three-bucket strategy. And that was part of my firm for many years. I'd say about 5 years. But I never liked it. I never liked quote-unquote bucketing for a few reasons. First, bucketing was co-opted, and I am not trying to throw insurance agents under the bus here. But there are some insurance companies and insurance agents who are just insurance licensed, and that's a great business model. We have nothing against it. I have an insurance license. Greg in my office has an insurance license. Andrew in my office has an insurance license. We're not anti-insurance. But bucketing was co-opted by some insurance companies and agents specifically to sell what, Chris?
Well, products.
Products.
The various
annuities.
Types. Annuities.
Annuities,
yeah.
Really. We and what pushed me over the edge, do you remember this case, Chris? I like sharing stories so you guys can understand, you listen can understand my evolution. Do you remember, and don't mention any names, especially the names of the company they were working with, but it was a federal government retiree who has a phenomenal TSP pension, excuse me, a FERS pension, who has a TSP, which also has an option for what, Chris?
Annuitization.
To be annuitized, to turn into your TSP is the federal government's version of a 401k. It's not quite a 401k, folks, but it's essentially a 401k. But they have an option where they can take some or all of their TSP and annuitize it into a guaranteed income payment in addition to their FERS pension.
Yep.
This person who we were working with at the time gave us a quote unquote financial plan from an advisor in Denver who specialized in working with federal government employees. That retirement plan was nothing but a pool of money in bucket one, a pool of money in bucket two, and a pool of money in bucket three for the TSP to be moved into. And every single bucket was what, Chris?
A form of an annuity.
An annuity, folks. This is a person who had a pension that covered nearly everything plus Social Security of what they needed. And as I'm looking at this and reviewing it, I like the idea of what they call bucketing, what I now call positioning, but I never liked what it was actually designed to do. It was designed to get people to buy annuities. You're going to put some money in this quote-unquote bucket, and you're going to need that bucket in 4 years or 5 years or whatever it is, so we're going to put you in this very safe annuity. Then you're going to need this money in 10 years, and I'm going to put you in this type of annuity. And then you're going to need money in 20 years, and I'm going to put you in this variable growth-orientated annuity. Oh, it just drove me nuts. So I stopped using the verbiage bucketing because of that, not because I'm against bucketing, which is nothing more than time-segmented investing, is what the industry calls it. But I don't use the verbiage bucketing anymore because, to me, it's being used to sell a bill of goods rather than truly providing a service. And then bucketing itself, the way it's designed, I think is too simplistic.
Right.
And I didn't like that. It wasn't taking a portfolio and breaking down the spending. It was taking a portfolio and just trying to time segment and say, okay, for the first X amount of years, you're going to spend this much. And for the next X amount of years, you're going to spend that much. It wasn't breaking each individual expenses down. It was just trying to look at the portfolio and say, you're going to spend a quarter of it now and then another quarter here and the last half here. That's about the depth of the analysis. And Chris and I would scratch our heads saying, this isn't a reasonable analysis. This is just designed to break up a big-ass portfolio and buy a bunch of annuities. Now, not every advisor who uses bucketing sells annuities. And if you are an insurance advisor, trust me, I use annuities when necessary. We are not anti-annuity. I'm just trying to set the stage of how I evolved into what I call positioning. It is borrowed from bucketing. It was birthed from bucketing. But to me, it takes the depth of our secure retirement income process, our approach to retirement planning. It takes that and melds it over to your investment portfolio. Chris and I separate financial planning from investment management. We say that all the time here on the show. Chris and I are certified financial planning professionals. We have two junior planners who are trying to become certified financial planner professionals. We have a junior planner who just became a certified financial planner professional, Greg. Mm-hmm. Greg, our LTC person, who will be coming back on the show for a bunch of series on LTC shows on EDUs and Q&As, folks. That's coming up shortly. Greg just got his CFP certification. Mm-hmm. That's all certified financial planner, folks. That's the financial planner in our practice. We separate it from asset management. And we have a CFA, Chartered Financial Analyst, outsourced, not an employee of mine, an outsourced independent contractor I've hired. He runs our investment management side. He does all that due diligence. Why don't we do them together? They are separate, but they are kissing cousins. And all too often, we found do-it-yourself investors are jumping in. You guys jump in with 2 feet on the investment side, and you're kind of ignoring the planning side. And then there might be planners like we were. And I'm not saying we avoided the investment management side. I wanted them to meld better. I wanted them to go well together, like chocolate and peanut butter, or peanut butter and jelly, or whatever euphemism you want to use. I wanted them to meld better together. And that's what we've done. But over the years, I saw some distinct disadvantages and things we didn't like, Chris, to bucketing. And part of that we didn't care for is it wasn't truly taking what Chris was finding in our secure retirement income process. All the different slices, if you will, of investments that needed to be made. Why don't you take people real quickly through that, Chris? How you take the initial portfolio. We call it a big cherry pie. It's just, for some reason, that's the metaphor I've used, a big cherry pie. Chris would use a big apple pie. I should have said a big chocolate cake with white frosting because that's what I love. But we're sticking with cherry pie.
Wait a minute. I thought you loved cherry pie.
No, I like chocolate cake with white frosting.
Oh, my gosh.
You know that.
So we've been using this. We've been forced to use this horrible cherry pie.
I know
pie.
You hate cherry pie. No, my favorite. I told you. It's got to be from like Walmart or King Supers.
The lowest quality
chocolate cake with white frosting. I love it. I hate those expensive, thick mousse type.
Well, I do think a pie in general is a better shape for our visualization.
Right, than a cake.
So, you know, the slices. And you can have slices of cake, but those are all kind of random, and I think the
cherry
finite
pie.
Cherry pie, pumpkin pie, apple pie, whatever you want to go with. But as part of the, you know, the planning process, when we do this initial projection, we call it, when we assess everything, we gather just enormous amounts of information from you, talk to you about what your goals are, what you're trying to achieve. You know, look at reasonable assumptions for everything. We do this massive projection looking off into the future, and we try to hone in or identify needs. You know, what needs do you have, and what resources do you have to meet those needs? And as people know, we start with the minimum dignity floor, make sure that's all protected. And oftentimes during that process, I won't hash through the whole thing because we're trying to get to positioning today. But we, through that process, we discover we might need some of your investment assets to chip in a little to help out in covering the minimum dignity floor. And it could be soon, could be later that we see this need occurring. We see a need if you've got some type of exposure and you want to protect against maybe future aging-related expenses or long-term care. There's a need that maybe has to rely upon some of the investments. Maybe there's an inheritance goal that you've got. That's going to take some type of reservoir of your financial assets usually to satisfy. So we've got all these pieces, all these needs or wants, you know, all these goals that you've got that require resources be devoted to them. And there's, you know, we find that these things have two key characteristics, or two or three, really. It's what they're for, you know, what is the nature of the need, and when is it expected to happen? When is this need projected to require satisfying. And it's with that information we can then look back to the cherry pie that you've amassed at retirement and slice it up and start to point to pieces and say, well, this piece we don't need for a while, so it can be treated in one way. But this piece over here, we need it much sooner. And this piece here is super critical because it's for something super important, maybe the minimum dignity floor, and it's needed right now on day one of retirement. And so by identifying these pieces, ultimately, part of the, you know, part of this goal of slicing it up is to discover that ever elusive fund number we talk about. Once we identify all these pieces for these other needs, whatever's left in there, hopefully a big old piece, is your fund number. And you can now decide how you're going to eat that because you can focus just on the fund decision. You know, when do you want to do this? When do we want to do this? Et cetera. As we go through that, now we've got feedback that we can provide to Jim, Jacob, Travis to say, hey, these folks, if we're managing their assets, this is what we need the assets to be doing for us. This slice over here happens at this time. It's super important. This slice over here is for that. And pretty soon we've got a lot of great information that can help guide what they're doing over on the investment management side.
Exactly. So think about it. If you're do-it-yourselfer, what we're essentially trying to do, the idea of just having one big portfolio and taking a quote-unquote safe withdrawal rate from it, as you know, we despise as far as retirement planning goes. We don't believe in it. We know it's big in the industry. We've talked about it. We have nothing personally against it. We don't look at advisors who espouse that belief, which is the vast, vast, vast majority of advisors out there, because of its simplicity and scalability. Those very reasons are part of the reasons we don't like it. It just doesn't go deep enough into what we think retirement planning is.
Yeah, and when just to clarify, I think when Jim says we don't like it, it's not that we believe you're doomed to failure by using
that. No, not at all.
It's just that we think there's a way to optimize or improve your overall retirement experience using a different approach. That's our goal, is to try to make things better, more rewarding, more fulfilling in this one retirement you get to live. You don't get to practice this over and over and over again. You got one shot at it. And we believe we can take an approach that's going to add to the quality of your retirement in some fashion versus a kind of plain Jane 4% rule approach.
So how do you tie this in if you're managing your money, folks? What we want to make sure a retiree understands is there are those expenses, as Chris said, minimum dignity floor, which must be covered. Food, utilities, transportation, housing, and healthcare. Y'all know this if you listen to us for a very long time. We believe in covering it with lifetime guaranteed secure income. But we also recognize early in retirement, from the day you retire to when all your secure income is up and running, which for most people is by age 70, we call that the delay period of your minimum dignity floor. We recognize that during that time period, most people are going to live off of withdrawals from their assets to cover any shortage during that time period. You don't need to go out and buy an annuity for the delay period.
But that's okay, right?
You you want, yes.
Not that it's okay to buy an annuity, but it's okay to use assets because the critical aspect to the delay period is we know when it ends. It's got an identifiable ending date. So what attracts us to using secure income for the long-term protection of the minimum dignity floor is that annuities provide us with longevity protection.
And by annuities, we mean Social Security pension and an actual annuity. Yeah. Social Security and a pension are annuities.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
We're not just telling annuities. But Chris is 100% correct. During the delay period, it's a known ending. So Chris, when he does the planning for let's say we have an investment management client, when Chris does the planning, he's feeding to us this data. He's saying, okay, guys, during their delay period, I, meaning Chris, have calculated we need to put aside, and I'm just going to make this number up, folks, $630,000. I have no idea why I chose that, but that's what we're saying. So $630,000 is what's going to be in the delay period. When he feeds that to was. He'll also tell us the length of the delay period. Maybe that's a longer than normal delay period, Chris, of 12 years. Again, just making this up. So that's someone who retired at probably 58 instead of in their early 60s. So when we're fed that information, we store it in our knowledge bin for managing the assets. And then Chris will turn around and say, well, okay. And then long-term guys, it's showing that their secure income, even after their delay period, isn't going to cover everything, guys. And my estimation, meaning Chris's, my estimation is they're going to need by age 83 an additional $300,000. Again, making these numbers up, folks, follow the rationale. If you are a do-it-yourselfer and you have retired, I'm just sharing with you how we would manage a portfolio. And the only reason we're sharing it is so you can decide as you manage your own money if, hey, you know what? I like their approach. I'm going to start doing that. So we're giving you our recipe. We joked last week, you know, the soup Nazi. It's Elaine who got the recipes of the soup Nazi. We're giving you our recipe, just like we did on our secure retirement income process itself. So we can say that another $300,000 in the post delay. So we're recording that as on the investment side. And I say we because right now I'm very involved in that still. I don't feel my junior planners are up to par. They're learning a lot, but they're not ready to be handed that baton. So I'm still very involved in that. So I'll be working with the junior planner saying, okay, we have $630,000 delay. We have $300,000 post-delay. Then Chris, through his work or with Greg, will tell us if there's going to be anything for aging. That's an optional reserve that we may give to people. So let's just say that comes to a $500,000. And again, folks, I'm making these numbers up. If you don't have portfolios this size, it's immaterial. Follow the concepts that we're saying. We might be told next by Chris that they have a $500,000 reserve need for aging. So we'll put that aside. Maybe there's no guaranteed inheritance issues. They're not interested in making sure that there's a guaranteed inheritance to a charity, a school, or a person. So we can put a big fat zero there. Then Chris will say, you know, we also have a buffer. We're very big in buffers. What if something happens that we cannot fathom? We're going to give a buffer, Jim, and they want a $300,000 buffer. Again, Chris will get all this from the client during the planning process. So what you can see, folks, if they have a big cherry pie, there's already slices. $630,000 has to be quote-unquote invested for immediate spending over the next 12 years. Guaranteed spending over the next 12 years. No room for oops in that money. We have to make sure it's there. That little slice, that what we call the delay period, it's more of a return of that money than a return on that money we are concerned with. This is deferred spending, your cherry pie. You've baked that pie your entire career. That portfolio of yours is designed to be eaten. You don't bake a damn cherry pie to look at it for the rest of your life. You're going to eat it. Your cherry pie of investment assets is designed to be spent. You do-it-yourselfers, get this through your head. Your portfolio is going to drop. Oh my God, Chris, how many times when we work with some of these do-it-yourselfers, do they share with us, honestly, what?
They're scared to death. It makes them physically ill sometimes, they describe, as they see their portfolio going down, especially when they know it's self-inflicted, a choice that they're making by taking money out to use it for the things that they plan to use it for in retirement.
Emotionally, you do-it-yourselfers found enjoyment in watching your portfolio grow, you're loath to spend it. We see it a lot. This is typical. This is not atypical. We see this a lot. It's typical in our industry. It's often the I don't want to say talk of the town, but when you go to a lot of retirement symposiums in our industry, there's definitely a behavioral finance expert doing a show on why some people can't spend their money. We see this all the time. Part of positioning is to hopefully get people to overcome this by using our metaphor of a cherry pie and getting them to understand you're going to start eating this pie. But more importantly, it helps us on the investment side if we are managing those assets. If you're a do-it-yourselfer, you can do this yourself. It's a lot of work, what I'm going to describe to you, but you could do it yourself if you wanted to. So what we start doing is slicing up that pie. But can you follow what's going on here, listeners? If we have $630 that we know we're definitely going to need for the delay period, and it's a return of that money, not on that money, are we going to put that in a 60-40, 70-30, 80-20 portfolio? Are we going to put it in a 70% fixed income, 30% equity portfolio in a high inflationary, rising interest rate environment? We know what happens to quote-unquote safe money, bonds. When interest rates go up, they go down. That's a different and unique investment approach. What are you going to do? Well, that's part of what positioning is designed for. So we have a $630,000 slice that's got to be managed or positioned quite differently than that $300,000 buffer. That buffer, Chris will explain to people, is specifically for the older you. And by that, we mean the 80, 90-year-old you. It's not if there's an emergency tomorrow, you're going to take that out of your fund pool. You haven't spent your money yet. If there's an emergency tomorrow, we'll get the money for you. But what if there is an emergency in 20, 25 years? If we didn't reserve that money, it might be gone. Well, do you think I'm going to take a buffer that is meant for the 85-year-old you to be spent? And in my example, you're 58 now. Am I going to put that in a return of your money, not return on your money investment, Chris?
Absolutely not.
No.
You've got all that time on your side.
Exactly. That might be an 80-20 equities to fixed income. It might be 100% equity. I could sleep with that. If you're 58 and you don't need this money or predicting to use this money at 80, I don't care if it's 100% equity. I really don't. Mm-hmm. So you could have $300,000 slice very aggressively invested. There's that $500,000 slice for aging, long-term care management. That pool of $500,000, we may be drawing a certain amount from it, 2, 3, 4% a year from that to cover the premiums on a long-term care insurance policy to give us leverage on that $500,000. But we may also be managing it for that sliver of expenses that are not covered by long-term care insurance. There is the exemption period or the delay period. It's usually 90 to 120 to 180 days before the insurance kicks in. That $500,000 might be used to cover that. It might also be used in the future to hire a landscaper or to pay for other expenses that you can no longer do for yourself. We talked about these strategies before. So that $500,000 will be invested a little bit differently than the 100% equities in a buffer, because unfortunately, aging money might be needed far sooner than later. I'm living proof of that. 14 months, was it 14 months ago now, Chris? November, December, January, February, March. 16 months ago now.
Yeah.
Wow, how time flies. Yeah. 16 months ago, y'all know, I nearly died when I suffered a massive stroke. Listen to the show from late 2020 where I talk about it with my AFib and the stroke and the brain surgery I had. But I came back from it miraculously. I easily could not have, correct, Chris?
Certainly was possible.
And it doesn't mean I could have died. Death would have been easy for me at 57. I'm not here.
Well, financially, it's easy.
Financially, it would have been easy. Chris would have taken over the business. He knows that. House would have been sold, and boom. You're probably saying, damn, I could have got rid of him. Show could have been mine. I could have been Chris Stein and Associates. But all jokes aside, folks, I was more afraid in the floor of my bond, not of dying, of living, because I knew the cost. But also, it happened that fast. I was 57 years old and nearly paralyzed. So we recognize that when we manage that slice of the cherry pie. Even though this is hopefully at 58, not going to be needed until your 80s, I would not feel comfortable putting it in 100% equities because I could need it tomorrow. Now, granted, there are plenty of other assets that could cover us, so we don't necessarily put all of that in an allocation that way, but we sometimes peel off 10, 20, 30% of that money, Chris, and manage it a lot more conservatively than we do the other 60, 70, 80% of it. which might be invested a lot more growth orientated. What I'm trying to get folks for you to understand, positioning is to get you to visualize, if you will, the different slices of your portfolio, and each slice, depending on the future spending that is being earmarked for, will be managed differently. I call it positioning because I'm lining up your slices of cherry pie. The cherry pie that we cut off and put on your kitchen table, to continue with my pie metaphor, the pie on your table, that's going to be eaten right away, or relatively right away when it comes to retirement planning. It could be consumed over the next 3, 4, 5, 6 years. But it's pie that we need to make sure, no ifs, no ands, no buts, that pie is there. Then this pie that we're going to put in the refrigerator. It's pie that's saying, look, we're not going to eat it right away, but I'm not necessarily sure I'm going to eat this pie well into my 80s. I might need it at different times. It's kind of in the refrigerator. It's buying us more time, but we want to make sure it's ready to eat. You can take a pie out of the fridge. You can nuke it or warm it up, and it's ready to eat. Then there's that pie, Chris, we put in the freezer that, in my example, the $300,000 buffer, or if this my example had a guaranteed inheritance for their children, they're never going to spend that money. That money is in the freezer. That pie is in the freezer. That pie can be fully invested for all we care. You don't have to access it. Do you start to see, folks, what we're trying to do with positioning? It's lining your portfolio up. You get your cherry pie slices in place and investing each slice appropriately for the expense that it was lined up for. And then it's every year, several times if needed throughout the year, but no less than every year, making sure those slices are still appropriate, the investments are still appropriate, making sure the growth, whether it's the actual growth or the projected forward-looking growth of each slice, still matches the inflationary pressures of the deferred spending that each slice is being earmarked to. Now, that doesn't apply to the slice, if you will, on the kitchen table. That's still a return of, not a return on. But we have to make sure that that pie on the kitchen table, what we generally call the delay period, that money is still the appropriate amount. And it's working closely with the retirement planning side of our practice, Chris and his team, to make sure to tell us, hey guys, yeah, we spoke with so-and-so, we looked at things, the delay period is shorter now. They're going to turn Social Security on a little bit early. I'm making all this up, folks, but understand what we talk about and do. This is what you need to do. If you are managing your money, don't just slice up your cherry pie and forget it. It's not a set it and forget it. Review it. Look at the deferred spending. Make sure that the deferred spending hasn't changed. I can't begin to tell you how many people retire, clients of ours, and 3, 4, 5 years into it, their retirement looks nothing like they expected. Now, there's a lot of clients who 3, 4, 5 years into it, their retirement looks exactly like they expected, but not all of them. And there's a lot that looks nothing like it expected. We have to be there to react to that and make changes. You, if you're a do-it-yourselfer and you believe in our approach, this is how you would do it, and you react. But all of this, folks, all of the work that Chris does on the planning side to feed us the cherry pie slices so we on the investment side can get the appropriate investments, all of it comes down to one key element. And I'm going to let Chris take over and talk to you about the emotional difficulty that people have here and why we don't want people to put off this. And what I'm getting at, and Chris knows, is the other concept that I call fun number. If you've been a client of ours for over a decade, fun number wasn't even uttered by me 10 years ago. But it was a concept that I had been thinking about and thinking about and thinking about.
Well, it was driven by clients that we've had over the years.
Exactly.
Because of the same question that kept coming up. The question that we kept facing and really initially struggling with a nice, clean, easy-to-understand answer was doing a projection, realizing that based on what the clients were telling us they wanted to do, it looked like they could do more. They could squeeze a bit more juice out of the orange, or however you want to describe your fun in retirement. And pointing that out, then the natural question was, well, how much more, Chris, or how much more, Jim, could we do? And then we play this kind of dance back and forth. Well, you could increase this. What does it look like? What increase that? What does that look like? Do we increase all of them throughout retirement? Or no, we probably shouldn't. Became pretty clear pretty fast that that didn't make any sense. Increasing spending for an 85-year-old in the projections didn't probably make a lot of sense. Well, makes it's a lot more valuable to increase that early. Well, how can we do that effectively? And it was difficult to answer that question. You know, it seems like a reasonable, straightforward question, and it is, but it was difficult to answer. So that's when we decided to approach it from reverse. Instead of starting with this number and adjusting it up and down, put together the plan with no fun first. Look, essentially, let's assign all of the cherry pie pieces to the other things that need to be dealt with first, things that you have prioritized over your fun, and then we glance back and look at that pie.
And what's left is fun.
Is your fun number. And then the only stressor, and this can still be stressful for people, is how are we going to slice that last, hopefully, big piece up? How are we going to apportion that between the go-go period, the slow-go period, and the no-go period, realizing that the no-go may never happen, slow-go may never happen, and go-go, we hope, lasts a long time, but that might not last super long either. So we might even want to, if you've got an extended, like Jim has built this hypothetical, kind of spontaneously as we've been talking here, these people are retiring at 58, so they have a potentially a very long go-go period. Many times with clients like that that we're working with, we'll talk about, I talk about a hyper-go or a super-go-go period where you really go for it in the first 4 or 5 years, but you can't maintain that pace. First, you'd be probably exhausted. And second, you know, not necessarily have so much financial resources that you could go at that kind of pace for a 10, 12-year period. But the point is, focus early. And then the mistake I think people make, even once they get this information, is that they treat it, these expenses, not as important as a lot of the other goals that they set forth. And that's where we believe you're making a big mistake. We believe you should treat those expenses for those early years in retirement that are dedicated to fun, which sounds frivolous, like, oh, that fun is not as important as these other things. This is the only retirement you get to live. We don't know when the go-go period is going to end for you. No matter what the projections show, we're using assumptions. We don't know if you're going to be able to maintain that into your 70s. Could have stop at any time. So lost years early because you put them off by not assigning enough importance to these expenses when something happens, like this last week as an example. Right? Markets going crazy. They're not going the direction people would like them to go. The natural reaction, your emotions are going to tell you, oh, fun, we can put that off. Let's delay that. Let's not do that till next year. Let's not buy the RV now. Let's not go on that vacation. Let's not do this, that, and the other thing. We've got plenty of time. We're in our late 50s. Let's put that off until the markets come back. That's a very typical response. And actually, the way a lot of investment managers who provide retirement advice tell you to do it, they're actually telling you straight up, that's a good idea. We hate it because, say you have, I mean, Jim described a 12-year period to 70. That's not even as far as a go-go period might last to your 75 or even longer. But many people have a go-go period that might be 5, 8, 10 years long. Max.
Right. You could have retired at 65, right. Chris, instead of 58 in my off-the-cuff example
right.
I gave.
Right. In a case like that, which is honestly in this day and age a little more typical than retiring in your late 50s, mid-60s is still a very popular time to retire. If you delay experiencing that fun that you've saved up all these years to do for a year or two, you might have given up 25% or more of your potential go-go period. By the time the markets turn around, and I'm not even saying they're going to necessarily turn around in 2 years. By the time you wake up and realize we can't keep putting this off, we need to pull the trigger, you delay a couple of years, that could be a big chunk out of your potential go-go period. Treat these goals as just as important as, say, funding your minimum dignity floor. And by when I say treat them as important, position them. Position the resources you need for these expenses with as much eye to making sure these expenses are covered as you would handle your minimum dignity floor expenses. That way you can proceed and do it even when and easily overcome the emotions of reacting to market volatility. That is a natural emotion, but if you're pulling money from a slice that isn't exposed to that volatility, you'll go ahead and eat it. And that's the point.
That's the exact point. So let me expand on a lot of what Chris excellently was saying. I'm going to share a little story of how I started thinking of things differently with a client. But I also want people to understand the whole point of positioning, as we've described, is to help you get to understand. You got no more big portfolio. It's a bunch of little portfolios. But there's a reason we do all this. And another reason why we don't like just the one big portfolio, which is very common in our industry. We recognize that. A lot of Monte Carlo planners are also investment advisors, and they charge a percent of assets. We'll talk about this more on the fees, but they'll charge 1, 1.25, 1.5, sometimes more, sometimes less. But they're going to charge. They want your assets. They want to charge on the assets. They want to keep your portfolio fully invested and, quote unquote, have a safe withdrawal rate coming from it. But when we look at that approach, we get to understanding, because we do this solely, and I've been doing it for 23 years, there's really two main risks when you retire. There's the sequential risk that everybody knows about. You retire just as negative returns begin. We all know there's going to be negative returns in the market. We just don't know the sequence of those returns. Are they going to happen 5 years into retirement? There's going to be the first one, and then another 5 years later. Are you going to get three in a row like would have happened in 2000, 2001, and 2002 when we had three in a row? When are the negative returns going to happen? That's called sequential risk. And depending on the timing of those, all you do-it-yourself is out there, you know this. Google sequential risk if you don't understand what we're talking about. There's plenty of people who have given examples of this. You can find it where they show you the same average rate of return of 2, 3, or 4 portfolios, but they just play with when the exact same losses happen. So they take the same returns over a 5, 10, 15, 20-year period. There's all different models out there. And they show the losses happening equally, Chris, throughout the time period. Towards the last half of the time period or the first half of the time period. Everything else remains the same. How much is withdrawn, how much the portfolio is subject to inflation, and the withdrawals increase for those inflationary amounts. Everything else is the same, folks. The only difference is when the losses occur. And the point is to show you if the losses occur during the first half of your retirement, oftentimes those portfolios, Chris, run out. And a portfolio with the same average return but suffered the losses in the last half of retirement die with way more money than he ever needed. If you Google sequential risk, you'll see that. That is a true risk because nobody knows when the losses are going to happen. That's why I wanted to do this show today, because we're getting some pretty big volatility and losses in the market that came out of nowhere. If anybody says they predicted Russia was going to invade Ukraine to the extent that they have, I don't know if they're being honest. Granted, for months we knew they were building up troops, but nobody knew for certain they were going to do it. And you certainly didn't know for certain if you retired 2 or 3 years ago that this right. was going to happen. Mm-hmm. This is what we call the Black Swan event. If you look at any Monte Carlo projection, they have a tail end. They call it the Black Swan. And they all say the same thing. Oh, God, I didn't see that coming. They said that in 2000 when the dot-com bubble blew up. They said it in 2008 when the real estate bubble blew up. And if this turns into more, they'll say, well, God, nobody saw that in 2022 when Russia invaded Ukraine. That's the whole idea. That's why they call it black swan. Nobody knew there was a darn black swan until they found one in Australia. So they call it black swan. We didn't see that swan coming out of nowhere. And their answer to that is, well, you're going to have to cut expenses. We didn't see that happening. We're going to cut expenses. Well, can you cut minimum dignity floor? I don't think so.
No.
So what do you cut, Chris? Fun. And they're going to say, well, you're going to have to hold off on those discretionary expenses. Mm-hmm. I hate the mere fact that they use the word discretionary. You don't have to travel. You don't have to go salmon fishing, Jim. You don't have to go to, to Montana on your elk hunt, Jim. You don't need to do that. What the hell you mean I don't need to do that? I can die at any time. And if you're in what we call your go-go phase, which we hope, depending on when you retire, could be, in my example, 12 years, 18 years in that example, perhaps. Chris is right. But if you're retiring, it might only be 5 years. It could be less than a year, sadly, which happened to a client of ours. Retired in January and in December. I don't want to get too deep into it, but in December, he received some very bad news when he retired in December, 11 months in. He received news that he probably wasn't going to live much longer. And he didn't. He made it almost 2 years. But it's devastated his wife. It's devastated everything. Chris, did he have an 8, 10, 12-year go-go phase? No. We don't know when a go-go phase is going to end. And we would be loath to have to tell a client that might have 20 years of retirement left and maybe a good 8 years of go-go and then a slow go and then a no-go, which can be the last half of retirement where you're just not doing much. If you've got an 8-year go-go and we're going to tell you to give up 2 of those years because the market's down, well, you got to cut your fund discretion. You don't need it. It's discretionary. That's a quarter of your remaining fund life. This is the only life we have. We know how it ends, folks. We're not getting younger, stronger, and healthier. This is what irks me with Monte Carlo, probability, black swan. Their answer is, well, we didn't see that coming. That's what we told you. This wasn't 100% surety. And that's why I wanted to come up with this. But I'll give you the story. I don't know if I ever told you this story, Chris, of how I said to myself, I've got to change this. One day I was in my office, and it was the newer office. So I'll give you a hint. I moved into this newer office in 2012. Mm-hmm. So it's somewhere over the last 10 years. And it was, I'll give you even another hint. It happened more than 8 years ago. So you can kind of know it happened either 9 or 10 years ago. Yeah. But I was sitting in my office, and this is when most of our clients were still in Colorado. Most of our clients still came in and met with us. This couple came in, and I've known them for years. I've been working with them for a very long time. Blessed, Chris, with a wonderful pension system. So not overly, overly concerned with minimum dignity floor, but enough where we had to keep an eye on things. Anyways, he came into the office, the husband and wife, and I could tell instantly, folks, something was up. Mm-hmm. He had, and I apologize, I don't know how else to word this, but y'all heard this saying, he had a shitty grin on his face. I knew he had something to tell me. He just had this grin on his face. And I'm looking at him, and I was like, what's going on? And he smiled, and he didn't say a word. He just pointed to my window. And I went to the window, mm-hmm. and I looked out the window. Mm-hmm. And there was a brand new Toyota Tacoma pickup truck in the driveway. Mm. And I turned to him, and I said, you got it. And he did. He got his truck. You see, this couple, wonderful couple, their dream, Chris, was to visit every national park in the lower 48. And they were going to do it by driving around pulling a teardrop camper. Mm-hmm. And the pickup was to pull the teardrop camper. Mm-hmm. So I came back, sat down, he talked to, you know how men are, we got to talk about our trucks. So he talked about his truck a little, all the things it had, and this, that, and the other thing. Very happy and proud of his truck. And then I said to him, well, when you get in the teardrop? And they looked at me and they said, I have to paraphrase, I don't know the exact conversation, but they looked at me, folks, and they went, oh, not for at least 2, maybe 3 years. And I looked back at them and I said, why? And they says, well, we spent so much money as it is on the truck. Mm-hmm. We can't spend more money. We've got to wait. We got to wait for our portfolio to rebound. And they were adamant, folks. They were going to wait a couple of years, 2, 3 years, maybe 4, before they bought the Teardrop. I sat there listening, but in my mind, and I'm not kidding you, folks, I was saying to myself, you failed. You are a failure as a planner. The clients don't understand what you're trying to do. I knew, Chris, they didn't need to wait. Mm-hmm. I failed. And that meeting, I went to Great Lengths. I pulled up their retirement analysis. I started walking through it again. This is when I started evaluating bucketing, folks. I had to show these people they didn't need to wait. Mm-hmm. Because I was worried. I didn't know I was going to have a stroke in 10 years. I didn't know any of that. I hadn't met the client yet who was going to, unfortunately, be told some very bad news 11 months into his retirement. Or the countless clients, sadly, who have passed away far earlier than they ever thought. I didn't know all that was coming. Well, I knew it was going to come. I didn't know to who. But I felt honestly, folks, I failed. I failed these people. I am not explaining myself well. Because maybe to 99% of advisors out there and 99% of you do-it-yourselfers who think, oh my God, you have to do a quote-unquote safe withdrawal rate and they already took so much out of their portfolio, they got to wait for it to come back and fun is discretionary, so I'm just going to put this off. I don't believe in that. And I was looking at people that I worried. Maybe they can't wait 2, 3, 4 years. The good news is, folks, they're still alive today and still doing what they want to do. But I didn't know 8, 9 years ago that they would be. You follow me, Chris?
Mm-hmm.
So I sat them down. I walked them through everything. I pulled their plan up again. And I told them, buy that Teardrop. And they did. Mm-hmm. They ordered it from Minnesota. They get it from Colorado. And Colorado has a lot. They wanted a customized Teardrop. Mm-hmm. I think they got it from, it was one of the Midwestern states that begin with an M. It was either Minnesota or Michigan. They ordered it and they drove out there and mm-hmm. picked it up. Apparently it's a really good Teardrop place. But they ordered it that year and they picked it up the following year and they started doing what they wanted to do. And it was then, Chris, I realized, okay, I've got to be able to explain this better. People, it's not resonating with people. Chris and I wouldn't nilly-willy tell someone to buy a truck and a Teardrop if we didn't feel they could spend the money. I felt confident in our approach. And today's show isn't about our secure retirement income process, but it's about the approach to managing assets and why I'm loath to have people do it with a safe withdrawal rate from one big-ass portfolio. And instead, as Chris said, back into it. We don't know what you can spend on fun. Let's back into it. Let's start slicing your cherry pie. Let's get those investments invested appropriately. Some slices might be 100% equities, and some might be all in cash and multi-year guaranteed annuities and perfectly safe. And everything else in between with those other slices. Our aim is to get you to what we think is your fun number. Now, if you're working with us, we're going to monitor for you every year. We're going to review it with you. We're going to look at each pie slice. We're then going to relay it to the investment team, who's going to make sure that each pie slice is matching up to what they're seeing on the retirement planning side. We got that. If you're a do-it-yourselfer, you need to be doing this. We're trying to share with you what we feel you should be doing. And the whole reason behind that is to make sure the fund number is still okay. Do we have to take some from that fund? Sometimes we do. Sometimes we can actually put more money into the fund. Mm-hmm. Because if any of those other prioritized pie slices, Chris, are failing to keep up with what you are projected to need, where does that money come from?
Well, hopefully, I was going to mention the reserve.
No, that. Right. But I get that. But the client's not that old yet, and we're not going to tap the reserve. Where does it generally come prior to that?
The fund.
The fund. Mm-hmm. The fund number. Chris is correct. We could take some from the reserve. But for the most part, it comes especially early in retirement from the fund. And especially when we start looking at aging-related expenses. That's the biggest pie cutter, pie slicer of your cherry pie is aging. That's going to take the biggest chunk.
Area that's very specific to clients. Some are wanting to proactively provide enough protection for aging and long-term care that it's highly unlikely that they'll ever have to reduce fund if they face those expenses. Others aren't are more comfortable saying, you know, if we face these, we're willing to let the fund adjust if we need to. So we're going to take that approach, which obviously means you don't have to build as much protection for those things. So all of this is through, you know, back and forth, conversations. Sometimes there's mulling it over, thinking about it, having conversations between spouses for a while, getting back to us and evolving the plan as you move towards retirement, maybe into retirement the first couple of years. So there's different ways that this can be done, but the point is to get it settled into something that's understandable. We can point to all these pieces. We know what's going on, and you feel comfortable with the situation, comfortable to the point where you buy the truck, you buy the teardrop camper, if that's what you wanted to do, and the numbers say you can do it, because the understanding and clarity of the rest of the pieces and what they're doing for you gives you that emotional stability, if you will, in times of volatility or chaos, so you can still bring yourself to pull the trigger on those things during the critical go-go period early on.
Exactly. And I'm glad you put emotional in, because that's how we're going to tie up the rest of this, folks, because we're getting ready to wrap up this show. I, during that event 8-9 years ago now, true story, and it's what caused me to start trying to present this differently. I knew the concept. I wasn't verbalizing it correctly. I knew I was loath to limit him to a quote-unquote safe withdrawal rate. You don't need all this money. Some of it can be spent on fun, and some of it can be spent on fun without any attention to safe withdrawal rate. You don't need to be. You need to be safe with your fun money to the extent, I don't want Wall Street to lose your fun money, but I want your fun. I want you to die with nothing in your fun money pool. We've said that before on previous shows where I said, I want the last check to bounce. I want you to die with nothing. I didn't explain that well enough, and that irked a few listeners, and they wrote back and said, that's crazy to try to time it. But they understand now what we mean. What we mean is that fun number, especially if you're monitoring it every year and increasing or decreasing if needed as you watch all the other pie slices, that fun number, I don't want you to die with it. Money left over there is life unlived. I've said that many a times. Money left over is life unlived. You can't take it with you. I want you to have the memories. If we truly, before we die, see our whole life flash before our eyes, and that never happened to me with my stroke, so maybe I should have known I wasn't going to die. I didn't flash. But if that is true, I don't want yours to end far too soon on your flashback because you put things off because Putin is invading Ukraine or something else is happening in the future. So what we try to get you to understand and what we want you to understand as you manage your money, break your portfolio up with sound planning. And when it comes to your fund pool, position it appropriately. Why? For the second risk of retirement. Emotional risk. For 2 weeks almost, equity markets have been tanking. Since January 1st, equity markets have been tanking. And I'm proud to say, at least right now, people who have done positioning, whether with our help or on their own. Remember, with our firm, and again, I don't want to turn this into a commercial for our firm, you don't have to hire us to manage your assets to do a retirement plan. And there are many of our retirement planning clients who are just do-it-yourself investors, and we give them the dollar amounts, and they'll go out and do their own positioning, or ostensibly they're supposed to be. Whether or not they are, I don't know, because we don't manage their assets. But what we're trying to get people to understand is, for the people we do position and the people that we have positioned, I'm proud to say, at least right now, they haven't called us panicking. And I'm hoping they're still spending and doing what they want to do. Could you imagine, Chris, me? Oh, the only thing I can go to is me and my salmon and fishing and hunting. Could you imagine me as a retiree, Chris, in 8, 10, 12 years from now, when I decide to stop working and let's say some other dictator's invading some other country somewhere and the market's down huge? Can you imagine me saying to you, "Oh, I didn't go salmon fishing in Alaska this year, Chris, because, well, did you see what the market's doing?" Chris will never hear that from me. Do you think I want to cut what I might only have 1, 2, 3, 4 years left to do, even though I might be hoping for a 8, 10, 12-year go-go period? Maybe the good Lord is only going to give me 4, a third of it. Could you imagine me cutting 1 or 2 of those years because a dictator invaded a country that I couldn't even find on a map? For the record, I know where Ukraine is, and I can find it on a map. But that's the concept that we want our people to understand, our listeners rather, to understand. Positioning is our approach to deal with sequential risk, which is a very real financial planning risk, which has been analyzed by CFAs, chartered financial analysts, and type A personality engineers with their spreadsheets. You can Google it and find it anywhere. It's out there ad nauseum. This is a risk for retirees. You very rarely see a lot written on the emotional risk to retirees, and that is you're loath to spend money, and you're loath to spend money from portfolios that have dropped. And if you have one big portfolio and that portfolio is down 8, 10, 12, 15%, your natural human reaction is to, well, I'm not going to go this year. I'm going to hold off. I'm not going to go on that salmon fishing trip. But if your portfolio is broken up into a bunch of mini portfolios, and you can look and say, wow, the money that I have earmarked for me at 75, 80, or 83, yeah, that's down. I put it in 80% equities, and oh goodness, look at that, it's down 18%. Okay, who cares? I don't need that for another 12, 15, 18 years, whatever the case may be. But wow, look over here. The money that I have here for my delay period and minimum dignity floor needs hasn't budged. It's perfectly safe. It's there. And look at my go-go spending. We've protected it. I will say, folks, when it comes to positioning, the hottest money that I sometimes have for people to keep out of the market is their discretionary spending, because they feel, I could just cut it. If it goes down, I can cut it, but I need to have this return. That is something that's unique to do-it-yourselfers, I will definitely say, Chris, because you guys are so steeped in growing, not consuming.
Well, you're still getting a return, an emotional return. The enjoyment of using this money for what you saved it up for, right? There's the investment return everyone's so focused upon, but the return you're getting now when you keep this money safe so that you can go and spend it and enjoy it, it's that enjoyment, it's that adrenaline, it's that happiness return. It's a different type of return, but you're not, if you're so focused on return and you can't give that up, just re-evaluate what we mean by return. You've got a great emotional happiness return because you can do what you want.
Another way of looking at it, because I love that, and that's new because I haven't heard you say it that way, but I like it.
Just came up, yeah.
What I often say to people, the money in the... Everyone gets, Chris, the delay period minimum dignity floor. Mm-hmm. And when we explain it to them, when we show them the show, everything we do is graphically laid out when Chris walks them through and recorded so people can watch it over and over again. We give them a recording. They understand that. Mm-hmm. So when it comes over to the investment side and they're saying, okay, can you help me with my asset management? When I just say to them, Chris reviewed, yada, yada, what did I use in my example? $630,000. Mm-hmm. So, and I say, okay, so according to Chris, we need to put $630,000 $30,000 for the minimum dignity floor. We recommend a cash sleeve, and we usually use laddered multi-year guaranteed annuities, laddered MIGAs, folks. When I explain all that to them, they're fine. They're like, okay, no big deal. That's perfect. We understand. Because no one wants to fall short on funding food, utilities, transportation, housing, and healthcare. They mm-hmm. get that. But when it comes to the fund number, and then we break it out, and we might take, let's just say in this example, Chris, the fund number came to $800,000. I'm just, again, making these numbers up out of the blue. First thing we talk to them is get them to understand they should spend, I usually say 60 to 70%. Mm-hmm. Chris usually says 70 to 80%. We let the clients decide during the go-go phase. I'm leaning more towards Chris's approach. You're winning me over there on that one, Chris. But we ultimately let the client decide. So let's say out of the $800,000, they do share with us, though, that they do want to spend 80% of that during their go-go phase. So that means we're going to take $160,000 of that, and we're going to put that in a different style investment. But we got—I'm doing this math in my head. Is that 640 mm-hmm. remaining?
640 left. Yeah,
excellent.
For the go-go.
Mm-hmm. Say, you might honestly think I do this for a living. So we got $640,000 for go-go. When I sometimes encourage people to protect all of that, or half of it, or a third of it, that's where I tend to get a lot of the kickback.
Yeah.
Well, gee, I don't know, because I don't have to. I can cut it. And I have to share with people that story. And again, ultimately, folks, if you're working with us or I'm working with you, you decide and we'll position the portfolio mm-hmm. as you see fit.
Yeah, I always laugh when people do that. I say, I can't spend the money for you. I'm not trying to do that. I'm not going to push you to do something you don't want to do. But please consider this. You know, please consider the fact that you might not have forever to spend this money, and wouldn't it be a shame if you didn't create those memories with your family, et cetera? So consider that before you make your final decision.
Exactly.
That's usually what I say. But ultimately, you're absolutely right. It's their plan. It's their retirement. They can live it however they want.
But we do position almost in a similar fashion to the delay period MDF mm-hmm. position, your go-go money on fun, and that flies in the face of conventional wisdom. A lot of AUM advisors, Monte Carlo projections say discretionary expenses can be invested because they can be cut.
Right.
And I just don't believe in that.
Yeah. What they're saying with that, and if you embrace that, what you're saying as well, is that you're willing to put your enjoyment in retirement under the control of the market.
Or dictators in another country.
Right, you're letting the market dictate what you can spend on the fun part of retirement, which is the fulfilling part. It's not that fulfilling to buy food to put in your mouth, to pay your utilities, etc. Those just have to be done. The fulfilling part is the fun. If you want to have it under your control so you can spend it when you intend to spend it, don't let the market control it. The market has its place. It's, you know, a wonderful reward when treated properly, but it's also risky. So make sure you're treating it appropriately when you're devouring your cherry pie.
So when we're working and when you're doing this yourself, you probably will have the hardest time positioning your fund number go-go. Slow-go and no-go, I don't think these do-it-yourselfers, Vanguard, is going to have any problem with that. You're probably going to put it in a moderate. Most of our clients choose moderate on that. 60-40, moderate allocation for whatever they earmark towards their slow-go and no-go phase. It's the go-go fun because the investor in you, it's all going to be about return, 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 return. So what I would like you to say with that go-go money, you win by not losing. Because happiness, as Chris just said. And in this market right now, that's what I mean. I hope none of the people we work with ever say to us, we help, especially now in light of COVID restrictions being lifted, the silly masks are coming off, and people are getting out and doing again until most likely it comes back in the fall if this becomes more of a endemic flu-like issue. I would hope people don't cut something. I'm going to Florida in July. I haven't told you that. So here's my announcement, folks.
It's hot there.
No kidding. I'm going to Florida over the July 4th weekend with this woman that I've started dating, and she loves Florida, and my mother gave us the house in Florida for a week, so... Yours
and
truly. It,
during a week, she would never step foot there.
Oh, no. My mother's out of there May 1st.
Right. Anyway.
So anyways, I'm going to be in
Florida.
There's
that hot, humid thing going on again.
Exactly.
You've triggered me.
That money that I'm going to be spending for that beautiful week in Florida in July is already in cash, folks. I got it already off to the side. Do you think I, well, maybe because if I don't want to go, I could, well, Putin invaded.
Yeah, maybe
my
we shouldn't go.
Portfolio dropped. We need to hold off on this.
We should stay where it's cooler.
Yeah, exactly. But all jokes aside, folks, I'm not retired yet.
It's the same idea.
But I already put that money aside. I wanted to make sure it was there. I don't give a damn what I'm earning. I'm not earning anything on it. I put that money aside when she first said to me in January she wanted to go. I haven't dated in a while, but Chris gives me tips. Happy wife, happy wife.
Happy life.
Happy life.
Well, I didn't make that up, but I definitely embrace that philosophy.
He's teaching me, just do whatever the hell it is she wants. Keep her happy. So I know she's going to want to go to Florida. She said she wants to go to Florida. I want to go to Florida, but preferably in January, not July. Wrong J month. But the point is, folks, I moved that back then. Just, I'm not retired, but it's a slight example of what I did. You think I'm stressing over what I'm going to earn on it? No. I'm like, hey, no problem. The money's there. If the market keeps crashing, who cares? I might get cheaper flights. I want you guys to consider that as you're managing your retirement portfolio. I'm telling you now, the hardest money you're going to have to position as do-it-yourself investors is your go-go fund, because you're still going to be fixated on earning a return on it. You're going to ignore, Chris, all those other pie slices that are invested. And you're just going to fixate on that pie slice that isn't invested. But because it's fun and in your mind discretionary, unlike the delay period, to us, those two are equal in importance. You must cover food, utilities, transportation, housing, and healthcare. And as far as I'm concerned, as a retirement planner, you must cover your go-go fund spending. Because if you don't, and your life does, in fact, flash before your eyes before you die, the last thing you're going to remember in death is a regret that you didn't spend the damn money on everything else when that reel stops. You want to be able to spend on fun. I don't care if it's discretionary. I still don't think you should cut it, because you don't know how long your go-go phase is going to last. So as you invest your money, yes, you understand our approach. We are passive investors on the advisor level. It allows us to keep very low advisor fees to our clients. Every dollar you don't have to give to Wall Street or to your advisor is a dollar more you get to spend. And I'll share that with our fee structure, how I came up with it. So yes, we are passive investors on the advisor side because it allows me to charge a very low fee. But I also feel, after working with Travis, our chartered financial analyst, and I tried to explain all the portfolios I had him do, all the back testing, all the analysis and review, I truly do feel that is the best approach for retirees. It's not just to lower fees. I think it's the best approach. And we are passive on the actual investments. We're using indexed ETFs that can trade, quote unquote, for free at Schwab or TD or at Fidelity. I say quote unquote because if you understood, they make money on the order flow. Thank you. So nothing's for free, folks, but it technically trades, quote unquote, for free.
Pretty cheaply. We'll
pretty
say
cheaply,
that. It is
yes.
cheap, at least.
So yes, we have passive portfolios, but the true approach to asset management, because again, we deal with distribution, transitional and distribution people. If you're an accumulation person, you're not going to be positioning. Don't even start to guess what you're going to spend on fun and protect that. Your accumulation, you should be 100%, as far as I'm concerned, you should be 100% equities. But again, that's just me. If you're in your 20s and 30s and you're not 100% equities, I don't know why. But anyways, this is a sale for you. But in distribution, you have to look at positioning for sequential risk and emotional risk. And this week and last week and who knows, this whole year, this hopefully the Ukraine thing is going to just go away. Well, it's not going to go away, but it's not going to turn Chris into something major. But this could easily blow up, no pun intended, into something much more and cause markets to truly tank. That's why 10-year yields today, on the day I'm recording this, has dropped from 2% to 1.7 over the last 3 days. Why? People are running to what's perceived as safe money, which for some reason is a country with $30 trillion of debt. Their debt is still considered the safest in the world, and everybody is leaving risk assets and going into fixed income right now. But what we want people to do is overcome that emotional roller coaster, feel comfortable to spend. So if you're managing a portfolio in retirement, get out from this one big portfolio and concentrate on positions. And when it comes to your discretionary money, we want you to strongly feel that money is just as important as your minimum dignity floor money. Because this is it, folks. It's not a dress rehearsal for the real life. This is it. Most of our listeners are my age or Chris's age or older, or maybe a few younger. Chris and I are not immune to this. We know how this ends. We're not getting younger. Before today's show, I went into your office and I sat down. And what did I say to you?
Oh, we started sharing stories about being sore, doing the things that we used to do without thinking twice.
Exactly. Exactly. Sunday, I did Mount Sinaitis in Boulder, Colorado. Google Mount Sinaitis. Yeah. It's a tough hike. It's a challenge workout hike.
You're still paying the price for that, aren't you?
Yeah, but 10 years ago when I started climbing Sinaitis, it was no big deal.
Yep.
I did it this weekend, and I'm still feeling it. Mm-hmm. And I was complaining to Chris about it, and he's agreeing. Mm-hmm. What I'm saying, folks, is we're not getting younger, stronger, and healthier. Emotionally, when you retire, it's going to freak you out. You are not going to want to spend your money as a do-it-yourselfer. If you keep one big portfolio, I'm afraid you are going to cut the only expenses you truly can cut, discretionary, and you're going to cut it needlessly because you just are going to be fixated that this is it. Ukraine. Mm-hmm. Did I say Ukraine?
A couple times now.
Did
but,
I?
But that's that was. I was proud of you for not saying it that way so much.
I used to always.
You used to always call
I
it
always,
Ukraine.
Jokes aside, yeah. We were recording a podcast, and I said I always thought it was called Ukraine.
Yeah.
And
well,
oh my
like
God,
ukulele.
Chris had a field day with Ukraine.
Well, you took me off.
Well, but anyways, I know it's Ukraine. For years, I called it Ukraine. But anyways, if you listen to my podcast, you're like, that's Jim. But anyways, this issue with Ukraine should not derail your retirement because emotionally you're freaking out. Break your portfolio up. Position those pie slices. Kitchen table, refrigerator, freezer. Freezer, I don't care if it's 100% equities, folks. I really don't. Now, eventually when the freezer goes to the refrigerator, you're going to change that. But you're going to invest by your risk tolerance. Start doing that.
And risk capacity.
And risk capacity. Mm-hmm. And to us, that's truly the real benefit of managing your assets in retirement. Whether you hire a firm like us to do it, a different firm, or you do it yourself. You always do it yourself. So we're trying to give you how we do it if you were our client. Positioning is what makes this unique, not a passive buy and hold philosophy using passive low-cost ETFs, rebalanced twice a year, four times a year, whatever you're going to do. That is nothing unique.
No, that's not cutting edge.
You can do it yourself. That's why we say this is a convenience. We'll do it for you. But what truly, to us, makes our approach unique is the positioning in the multiple little mini portfolios. And it's a lot harder to track. It's a lot harder to monitor. We charge extra for it. We have to. We have no choice. But we give clients the option to decide if they need it. They might not need it yet. If you're doing it yourself, it is more work. It's not as easy as you think managing a retirement portfolio. It's not a set it and forget it, buy and hold, 60-40, 70-30. And I know all you people still freak out on all that. It's totally immaterial. Absolutely, totally immaterial. Instead, it's pie slices positioned for refrigerator, freezer, excuse me, table, fridge, freezer, and invested appropriately. That, to me, is the true secret of our approach. And if you're an accumulation person, what I just described doesn't even apply to you. Don't do it. You're silly if you're in the accumulation phase and you start positioning. Don't do it. Don't freak out over Ukraine, and just keep throwing money in. Because eventually, this will hopefully work its way out. I fear, and I think the market fears, this could easily drag other countries in and become a major conflict. I'm hoping calmer heads eventually prevail, or worse, a mistake isn't made. When you're dealing with nuclear weapons, a mistake would be catastrophic. So I think that's why we're seeing a lot of volatility. Anyways, I think I beat this horse to death. I hope people understand what makes our approach to retirement planning unique. We have that same approach to asset management. We don't follow conventional wisdom. We have our own reasoning. I've tried to explain why. I've given you examples of people, real life examples of the teardrop trailer of why I said 8-9 years ago, I've got to visualize this differently for my clients. I don't want any client to have to cut it short. And the good news is those people are still, except for because of COVID, healthy, still got the truck and trailer, still going to their things. Obviously not as much right now with COVID, but it could have very easily not turned out that way. And I'm glad they went forward and bought that teardrop right away. Yeah. Okay, perfect. I'm done.
Nice. So positioning. So next time we'll dive into fee structure finally. So we're approaching the end of this, what's going to be a 5-part series. I promise I won't let Jim go to 6. That just seems
it won't be
excessive.
6.
So next week we'll dive into that. And we appreciate everybody who's listening through this. If you haven't been super interested in this that we're talking about, EDU shows are about to evolve into something else. One more week of this, then we'll be on to the next thing. Q&A show is always available. If you want to listen to something unrelated to what we've been talking about recently, you can send your questions in to us. Go onto the website, jimhelps.com, or emailing jim@jimhelps.com is his email address. Just make sure in the subject line you indicate it's a question for the podcast.
And the upcoming Q&A show, folks, special guest. We dragged Bob out for about six, 7 minutes.
For a question, yeah.
He's going to answer a question of the week, and I liked it. It had to do with Social Security and a little change
in the tax treatment
of Social Security that a listener pointed out, which when I showed to Bob, he's like, oh, yeah, I knew that. And I said, well, we need to tell people about it. So I do thank the listener. If they're listening, she's going to be, oh, good, he's going to answer my question. But just a little teaser for this Saturday's Q&A show for the new question of the week.
So kind of a weird tax-related, Social Security-related question.
So we're gonna drag Bob out. So the Social Security question is also going to be the new question of the week with Chris and Bob addressing it.
Nice. Well, thanks, everybody. We'll be back with you next week with part 5 in our series.
You have listened to Jim on the radio, read his quotes in the media, and enjoyed his banter on iTunes. But even now, you may wonder what sets Jim Saulnier and Associates apart from other financial planning companies. The answer is quite simple. Jim's diverse team of professionals specializes in retirement planning. They form a lifelong relationship with you and measure their success not through product sales, but through the security and prosperity you may achieve in your retirement. Jim's entire team shares his unwavering commitment to placing their clients' best interests first while offering their services at fair prices with full disclosures. The professionals at Jim Saulnier & Associates are available to assist you with your retirement planning needs. Visit jimhelps.com to schedule your complimentary coffee and a second opinion meeting. That's Jim, H-E-L-P-S.com. Or call 970-530-0556.
The Retirement and IRA Show represents the words and views of the show hosts exclusively and should not be construed as investment, legal, or tax advice. All information is believed to be from reliable sources. However, we make no representation as to its completeness or accuracy. All economic and performance information is historical in nature and is not indicative of any future results. Any indices mentioned on the show are unmanaged and cannot be invested in directly. Diversification and asset allocation strategies do not assure profit or protect against loss. Never make any investment or financial decisions based on information offered on this show without first consulting your financial, legal, or tax advisor. Financial planning services offered through Jim Solnier & Associates, LLC, a registered investment advisor.